Hello, David Rutley. How are you, fella? You all right?
I'm doing all right, thanks, Darren. How about you?
Yeah, not bad. Listen, I've got a load of questions for you, which you probably know anyway. big announcements last night from Boris Johnson.
Absolutely. We're all anticipating this. There have been changes, obviously, in the infection rate and positively in the number of deaths, still large numbers, but they have been declining. And so the Prime Minister looked at his five tests and said, well, now's the time to start making some cautious first steps out of lockdown.
So I'm glad you used the term lockdown. So can we establish, first of all, before we go any further, officially, is the lockdown in some form still on?
Well, we're all encouraged to stay at home, but what we're saying now is that we can take steps away from the home. Obviously, we were able to exercise before. Now the limits on the amount of exercise we can take have been taken off, and we can even play some sports with our own family. So there have been gradual changes last night, but I think some people were anticipating the lid would be taken off dramatically. I think these are quite cautious first steps. And obviously the other thing that the Prime Minister said, which was really just got to clarifying a bit about encouraging people to get back to work if they can't work from home. They were all really able to do that, but the Prime Minister is trying to encourage more people to go to work if they can, and clearly they need to work out how they do that with their employers as well.
Okay, so before we get into all of the crux of what you're allowed to do, what you're not allowed to do, let's backtrack a little bit, because I remember Boris Johnson last night. I made some notes while I was watching him about this. It's like a terrorist threat level. You know what I mean by that, don't you? The colour-coded kind of alert, COVID alert. Is that gonna work like a terrorist threat level? So if it goes up and we need to lock down a bit more to tighten things up, it'll go on the news and it'll be all publicised.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the point. And what he's got is a group of experts who are advising on this. And there are five different alert levels. We're currently at level 4. And we're now looking at the steps to move to level 3. So it's all very gradual. But yeah, absolutely. He was very clear, if there are flare-ups, then what he'll do is raise the level. And then we'll have to go back into a tighter form of lockdown. And if, heaven forbid, we ever went to level 5, there would be an even more extreme form of lockdown than we had before. But similarly, if things move forward, as we hope, and we settle into this level 3 and things go okay, then we might be able to relax things further and further. And he already set out some phases in steps 1, 2 and 3 about how that might look as we move forward, involving schools and potentially going into the hospitality sector as well. But at the moment, we're anticipating and moving into step 1 out of lockdown.
There has been some talk about regional tightening if need be. So, for example, if Cheshire East has a bit of a flare-up later on in the summer, can you tighten that up and just go, right, Cheshire East, we've got a bit of a flare-up, let's tighten this region up on its own?
Yeah, the Prime Minister did nod to that. I heard that as well. He talked about local flare-ups and that steps could be taken in that event. But I think at the moment these are England-wide, and they'll continue to stay that way. Other countries, for example, Spain, have got different arrangements in Barcelona and Madrid. On the whole, we're trying to avoid that. But as you said, if there are flare-ups, then action will need to be taken. Or if they're a risk to a large group of population, then the national guidelines in England will need to change again.
So the rule is now, can you explain the stay alert? Because please forgive me, I have been giggling about it a little bit this morning because I don't understand it. What does stay alert actually mean?
Well, it means we need to be cautious outside the home. And what's clear is that, unlike perhaps in February and March when we were first coming to terms with this disease, we didn't know as much about it. We didn't know how the infection rate would respond to the steps we're taking under moving into lockdown. But we've now seen some effects, and we're going to be living with this disease now for some time. And so the government's felt that we need to update the message and help us be prepared for how things might move forward over the months ahead. This could go on you know, right through to the end of the year and beyond. You know, we'll be living this with this some time. So clearly, given that long-term view, the idea is that if you just keep the message to stay at home, it doesn't encourage people in the same way if you say stay alert, which is something we're all going to have to get used to now, a new message, where if we're outside, we should still be alert and concerned. If we're on public transport, as there was a very clear message yesterday, the government's going to try and put more public transport in place. But with social distancing on public transport, we're going to have to be alert there as well as we're trying to get more back into the workplace. So it's what it's saying is, in line with moving to a different alert level, the message has changed, and that we're moving to a stay alert message. But we're going to need to get used to that. It's a bit like stay at home. That's a very clear, simple message to start with. We're now getting to a point where the message gets a bit more nuanced, a bit more difficult to determine, because we're now encouraging people to try and get out of the home and move into a different phase in the alert levels.
So the rules then, people, if you can't work from home, go into work. Was that the original rule anyway, where people said, you know, where the government said, stay at home, if you can't work from home, then do go into work?
Yeah, it's a small step on from where we've been here. Absolutely, we were encouraged to go to work if we could. If we couldn't work from home. So, and manufacturing and construction, you know, they were the two sectors the Prime Minister talked about last night, trying to encourage people to get back into work there. So it's a step on from where we've been. Clearly, there were going to have to be lots of conversations between the employers and their staff to work out, to ensure that social distancing is in place in those business places as well. So it's a bit of a start of the journey. But yes, the Prime Minister is trying to reinforce the point, if you can't work from home, please find ways to get back to work, working with your employer, but also bear in mind the pressures on public transport because of respecting social distancing. It won't be the option that everybody can use going forward. So he was encouraging more people to cycle or to walk or to use a car if possible.
Couple of questions then from the Great Cheshire Folk for you this morning, if you don't mind, David. No mention of people, you know, the shielding group, so the people who had underlying health issues or on medication that affects their immune system. And I don't know whether that is with the over 70s as well. Can you just clarify all of that shielding group for us?
Yeah. We'll obviously be hearing a lot more from the Prime Minister today. He's going to be answering questions in Parliament, and there's also going to be a 50-page document that's going to be made available, which will set out more of the detail around the programmes. But as I understand it, there wasn't, as you said, a mention around the shielded group. I think it's around 1.5 million people who have had letters from the NHS. But I think the clear guidance or the common sense approach at this stage, and we'll see what more is said in this 50-page document, would be that those 1.5 million are particularly vulnerable, and I think the common sense approach would be that they should stay at home at this stage. But let's see what the detailed guidance would say later on. I mean, these people are very vulnerable. We want to make sure they're protected. The community's doing a fantastic job, along with the NHS, to look after those people. So we don't want them to get any more exposed than they are at the moment. Then you talk about over 70s. Again, we'll see what the guidance says, but there was no mention about trying to differentiate between under 70s and over 70s. And I've had a lot of over 70s writing to me saying, you know, we think this is a bit unfair. We want to be able to enjoy the outdoors more or go about our lives more. And it would seem from what the Prime Minister said yesterday that those individuals will be able to have more choice about what they do. And again, we'll find out more in the 50-page document that comes out a little bit later today.
I got a question from Amanda, who's over in Knutsford, and said she's been instructed, obviously, by Boris Johnson last night to return to work today, her and husband. Grandma, who's over 70, would normally babysit, but they can't go to work because Nana, over wherever Nana is, can't babysit because she's over 70.
Yeah, again, we're going to find out more about that in the details. Some of these things will need to be worked out with employers in terms of childcare. And, you know, again, step two, if the key indicators support this, would see some return to primary schools in years 6 and then reception in year 1 and 2. So, but again, all of that's going to be dependent on key indicators. And I think there's going to be a lot of very grown-up conversations going on between employees and their employers as to how we take this further forward. This is very much the start of the journey, Darren, and more detail needs to be worked through at a business place level.
He did say last night that you can drive out and enjoy some green spaces, some exercise, some fresh air. So could I take my wife and my little daughter to Blackpool for the day?
Well, based on what was said, in theory, that's possible. But my suggestion would be that let's look at this carefully. It's great that we're able to have extended exercise. It's great that we can do that with our families. But, my strong advice would be, even at a local level, let's try and avoid some of the obvious beauty spots and really popular spaces, because it's going to be quite difficult to have social distancing in practice there. So I'm just thinking, I'm sure a lot of people on Wednesday when these regulations change, want to go up to Tegs Nose, say, or Macclesfield Forest. But I think we just need to be very cautious there as well about the amount of pressure that's put on those places. And again, let's make sure we respect social distancing. So I would suggest to people, try and find places on the map you haven't been to before that you think might not be quite so popular and spread out, rather than concentrate on honeyspot areas, because it's going to put pressure on local services and local population. And actually, we've got a fantastic, wonderful countryside locally and a wonderful country as well. So let's try and find some of those best-kept secrets.
I see what you mean. So that goes back to being stay alert and just think about it first before you go.
Yeah, it's going to put a bit more responsibility on us to just think through the different scenarios, whether it's going to take those forms of exercise, whether it means how we go back to work. We're all going to have to think these things through. But the good news is that we've begun to see the reinfection rate under better control, and we've seen the daily death rate beginning to drop sustainably and in a meaningful way. So that means we can start looking at these questions. Some of them are quite difficult, but we can look at them, and different countries are looking to relax the regulations in different ways as well. We're all exploring how we move forward. But as you said earlier on, rightly, if things don't go according to plan, if we see some increase in these challenging morbidity rates, then we'll have to put a lid back on these things. So that means that there's still a responsibility on each one of us to be as responsible as we can, just as before. But now in a new environment, we're going to have to continue to be responsible, continue to be alert, and there is a responsibility on us. We can make a difference in how this disease is contained. If we do it responsibly, hopefully that will increase our freedoms at the same time.
Message from Jonathan on Facebook just asks, the numbers are still quite high, they're still in the hundreds. Is it really safe to just go back to work, or, go out for a bit more exercise and be in the public a little bit more?
It is safer. Again, thanks to all the work that each member of the population and the public have done, and the amazing work of the NHS. There were 5 tests that the Prime Minister has set out. I won't bore you with each one, but we are making real strides in these different areas. So I think it is safe to move forward. But as we've been saying in this conversation, these are very cautious steps initially now. This isn't taking the lid off in a reckless way. They're cautious steps. And more detail is going to be available this afternoon. So I think it is important to start trying to move on from lockdown, but it needs to be on a phased step-by-step basis, just as is happening in other countries as well.
Mr. David Rutley, MP for Macclesfield, thank you very much for your time today. I know you're going to be very busy over the next few days getting your head around everything. But no doubt you'll come on in a few weeks and talk to us a bit more, won't you, hopefully?
Look forward to it. Thanks, Darren. Thanks for all you're doing as well.